Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. This is the word of the Lord. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God, I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The kingdom of Israel was a picture of the kingdom of God in glory. That kingdom as it is revealed at the end of Scripture. The kingdom of Israel was a picture of the kingdom of God in glory. In Leviticus, we see not only how a sinful people are to approach a holy God, but also how a redeemed people are to live with a holy God in their midst. And so throughout Leviticus, we see regard for what is pure and what is whole. Without Leviticus, we see a regard for what is pure and what is whole. Purity and wholeness being an expression of holiness, of the holiness of the God of Israel. The kingdom of Israel was to be a picture of the kingdom of God in glory. But it was only a picture. It was only a shadow of the substance. And we see reminders in Leviticus that the kingdom of Israel was not itself the kingdom of God in glory, but rather a shadow of it. We see it in Leviticus chapter 19. We see it in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 14, the focus of our attention this morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. The presence of the deaf and the blind in Israel, of those who could not hear the voice of the Lord, who could not see the works of the Lord, the presence of the deaf and the blind in Israel, it was a reminder that this was not yet the kingdom of God in glory. The lack of hearing, the lack of sight, it was a lack of the wholeness that marks the kingdom of God. A lack of the fullness that marks the kingdom of God. In glory, there will be no lack. There will be no want. But this is why Leviticus chapter 19, verse 14 was and is all the more important. But the people would be tempted to treat the deaf and the blind, or the lame, or those with any kind of deformity, whether physical or mental, to treat them as less than full members of the household of God, as less than full citizens of the kingdom of God. And we can understand why one might be tempted in this way. For a sacrifice that was blind or lame was not acceptable to the Lord. Nor could one who was blind or lame approach the Lord. Leviticus chapter 21, verses 17 and 18, speak to Aaron, saying, "None of your offspring throughout their generations who has a blemish may approach to offer the bread of his God. For no one who has a blemish shall draw near, a man blind or lame." Those with a blemish, those with a defect, those who were blind or lame, they could not enter into the holy places. And so the temptation would have been to treat the deaf and the blind as those under God's displeasure, as those under God's judgment. What did the people ask Jesus in John chapter 9? John chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" This man born blind, he must be under a curse. It must be a consequence of his sin or his parents' sin. Because of the purity and the wholeness of God, because of the purity and the wholeness of the kingdom of God, there was a temptation to treat those who lacked such wholeness in body or wholeness in mind as under judgment and unworthy of love. As someone to be despised. Or worthy of mistreatment. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 14 was given by God to protect those of his people, to protect those of his children that were more vulnerable to abuse. To remind his people that the deaf and the blind were no less his people, were no less members of his house, were no less citizens of his kingdom, no less bearers of his image, no less worthy of respect and love. What is more cruel than cursing the deaf? What is more cruel than putting a stumbling block before the blind? They do not hear, but God does. They do not see, but God does. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. They're not objects for your amusement. They're not to be taken advantage of. They're not to be treated as something to be rid of. They're not to be neglected. They're not to be ignored. They are to be protected. And their dignity is to be promoted. The people of God are to care for them. The people of God are to love them. For who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute? Or deaf? Or seeing? Or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? But why? Why does he make him mute? Why does he make him deaf? Why does he make him seeing? Why does he make him blind? Why was this man born blind? John chapter 9, verse 3. Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." Why? That the works of God might be displayed in him. God has made the deaf, God has made the blind, that his works might be displayed in them, that his glory might be revealed through them. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 18. "In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 2, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. God made the deaf and the blind that His works might be displayed in them, that His glory might be revealed through them. The blind seeing. The deaf hearing. The lame leaping, the mute singing. It is in Isaiah the sign of the Lord's coming with salvation for His people to give them His kingdom and glory. But was the response of Jesus, the Lord of glory, to the question of John the Baptist, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. The works of the Lord were displayed. His glory was revealed in Jesus making the blind to see. In Jesus making the lame to walk. In Jesus making the deaf to hear. It was a sign that salvation has come in Jesus Christ. It was a sign that in Him the kingdom of glory has been opened to those who trust in Him. He has delivered you. From a greater deafness. From a greater blindness. Than physical deafness. Than physical blindness. He has delivered you. From your spiritual deafness. From your spiritual blindness. But how did He do so? He did so by bearing your deafness, by bearing your blindness. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 18 and 19. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? Jesus, the messenger of the Lord, the servant of the Lord, He bore your deafness. He bore your blindness, that your ears might be opened to hear the voice of the Lord, that your eyes might be enlightened, that the eyes of your hearts might be enlightened, that you might see the hope to which He has called you. You are not to curse the deaf or to lay a stumbling block before the blind. But God does curse the spiritually deaf. God does lay a stumbling block before the spiritually blind. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, He will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling, and many shall stumble on it. That stone is a sanctuary to some, but it is a stumbling block to others. First Peter chapter 2, verse 6, for it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. Jesus Christ, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, by God's grace, you have not stumbled over this stone. By God's grace, you have believed in Him. Christ bore your deafness, He bore your blindness, that He might make you to hear, that He might make you to see, that His works might be displayed in you, that His glory might be revealed through you. The gospel is good news to the spiritually deaf and the spiritually blind. To the spiritually lame, to the spiritually dead. But it is not only good news to those who are spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. It is also good news to those who are physically blind and physically deaf. Christ does not only deliver his people from spiritual deafness, from spiritual blindness, from spiritual lameness, from spiritual death. But his works will also be displayed in you. His glory will also be revealed through you when he raises your bodies from the dead. When he raises your bodies pure and whole. When he raises your bodies in the glorious image of his Son. And the deaf who could not hear their own voice will hear the voice of the Savior. And the blind who could not see the glory of this creation will see the glory of Christ's face. Why has he made the deaf and the blind? That his works might be displayed in them. That his glory might be revealed through them. And that is how we must see them. That is how we must treat them. This is how you must see those who are impaired in the body or the mind. As those made by God for the manifestation of his glory. And so the church, and so you are to care for them until that day, to protect them until that day, to prepare them for that day, to encourage them in the hope of that day. Christ bore your burdens. And so fulfill the law of God. And so you are to bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. We live in a world that screens the womb, we live in a world that screens the womb for children with defects. In order that parents might determine whether they should see the light of day. We live in a world that neglects the demented because they are of no use to the economy. In the church, it must not be so. God calls his people to protect the vulnerable. God calls his people to promote their dignity. God calls you to protect the vulnerable. God calls you to promote their dignity. to minister to them. And to allow yourselves to be ministered to by them. Knowing that God is pleased to work through them no less than through you. Bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's infirmities. Uphold the weak. Protect the vulnerable. Love your neighbor. Love one another. Be holy as the Lord your God is holy. Amen. Let us pray.